This week's mailbag comes from Kim. Kim says, "Lisa, you are such an inspiration. I'm growing my own business, and your methods have really propelled me forward. You're so intelligent, and I appreciate your dedication to helping others. The Workbox and Sunday Basket are incredible. There's more to them than I could have imagined when I first started using them. Thank you, and Happy New Year, Kim." Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I share a lot. I mean, a lot. A lot on the podcast, a lot on Instagram. I feel like my life is an open book, but I want to open that book even further and really invite you into a week in my life. And I'm going to do that in 5 podcast episodes here on the Organize 365 podcast. First, I'm going to take you into what a typical Saturday is like, and then what a typical Sunday is like, followed up by Monday through Friday of my morning routine, Monday through Friday of my afternoon routine, and Monday through Friday of my evening routine. So this will be 5 podcasts. I don't know which one you've just turned on, but this is part of a 5 podcast series. So you can go forward or back in the podcast player to hear all of the rest if this is after they come out live. And I just want to talk to you about some of the habits and things that I put into my life that caused me to live a life that is very proactive, that is very positive, and is very planned. And it's those little things that I do on a regular basis that you don't really think to include in a whole podcast. So take a listen to what happens on a typical day inside of my life, and hopefully you will glean some different habits and tips and tricks that you can add to your life to add more ease and less stress as you go about your day. I have so enjoyed talking through how I spend my time on Saturday, how I spend my time on Sunday, what my morning routine is like and how it changes each day of the week, what my afternoon routine is like, that moving from my work of the day into my work of the evening. And I wanted to do the same thing for the evening podcasts. But you know what I found out? I don't like to talk after 7 p.m. I've always been this way. There was one day, it was like, I don't remember what it was, but the next day, my neighbor came over and she was like, "What happened last night?" And I said, "What do you mean, what happened last night?" She goes, "What happened last night? We didn't know where you were. We almost called the police. We couldn't find you. What were you doing last night?" And I said, "I was over at friend's house." Like, I'm allowed to go to friend's house. She goes, no, you never do. You are always home at 8 o'clock. Like, you're always home at 8 o'clock. The kids are always in bed at 8:30. You are never out with the whole family after 8 o'clock. Where were you? Why weren't you here? We were ready to call the police." I was like, "That can't be right. Like, I go out at night." She goes, no, you never do. So I thought about it. She was absolutely right. Like, I'm an extrovert. I love to talk to people, especially in the morning and in the afternoon. If I'm at a conference, I'll go out to dinner with you. But at home, like, after work, I go home. Or if I'm going to do something that is social, I want to do it like at 5 o'clock, right after work. I want to be home by 8. And usually I'm home way before then. I come home, I eat dinner, and then I'm counting down the minutes. When do I get to get my hot bath? And I, like, 8 o'clock is usually the latest. Right now, I'm taking my hot bath around like 5:30 because I watch Grayson at 6 and I'm like, oh, I'm making sure I get my hot bath. And like, I love to have my bath, get my pajamas on. I like to watch TV or do my puzzle. Like, I'm a grandma before I was a grandma, apparently. Also, with children, like, I love to preserve sleep. Like, I would be out during nap times, but bedtime, like, you should be home. Kids go to bed in their crib. They sleep longer. And I'm tired. Like, when the sun goes down, I'm done for the day. And now it's winter. Like, the sun's going down at, like, 4:30. Good enough for me. Like, done. Done talking to people. Done having makeup on. Done seeing people. You probably now realize Lisa does all of her social media in the morning, maybe in the afternoon. If you see anything on social media in the evening, I'm showing you Grayson. I'm not showing you me because I'm already in my pajamas and I have no makeup on anymore. I just love being at home. And specifically, I love taking my bath and then sitting on my bed and watching TV and doing a puzzle or reading a book or listening to a podcast. Like, I love hanging out in my bedroom at night. I am a 13-year-old kid every single day after school is over, which now is work. It's just the way I am. So Monday, I went to record my evening routine for you, and I realized I really don't have one, and it doesn't change much, and I don't feel like talking about it at night. So I'm recording this at 10:30 in the morning because this is when I like to talk. My evening routine, I would say my entire life, I have taken a hot bath every night. I love it. It may be a 5-minute hot bath. It may be a 45-minute hot bath. It doesn't matter. There will be a bath. I can count on one hand the amount of times that I have not taken a hot bath, to the extent that when I scheduled out the book tour last summer, the prerequisite of the hotel was that it has a bathtub because, you know, they're building hotels without bathtubs now. I don't understand. And in every city I went to, we shipped a box to that hotel that had Epsom salts in it. Like, the bath is non-negotiable, people. Non-negotiable. So I take a bath. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 45 minutes. It's usually about 15 to 20 minutes. I like a hot bath. I really love Epsom salts. I have a couple of different facial scrubs that I do that I just really enjoy doing. I have a couple of different lotions I put on after I get out of the bath, things that are supposed to magically make you stay looking younger that probably don't. Just take my money, but I do it anyway. I try different ones. I put on my pajamas and, oh my gosh, my mother-in-law got me this zip-up. It's like a jacket. It's a Columbia jacket, I think, but it feels like so soft. I don't know. I don't know what kind of a jacket is. It's definitely a grandma jacket. When you see it out on somebody, you'd be like, the grandma jacket, the soft grandma jacket that when you hug them feels soft. I wear that as like a bathrobe, but it's just an upper body jacket. I wear that jacket and I get ready for my evening. That's it. I don't have a lot of things I do in the evening. Now, in the past, in seasons where I was taking care of kids or I wasn't working at a company I owned where I had to go somewhere else, I would pack my lunch, I would lay out my clothes, and I do look at my calendar for the next day so that I know what I want to wear when I'm getting up, but I usually do that at the end of the workday. I don't do it at the end of the night anymore. I don't tend to go on my phone very much at night. I'll check Instagram, I'll check the news channels, but they, you know, nothing new is on there. I'll check my email, but I won't really respond to anything. Don't really have much of an evening routine. I am going to put in here now an older podcast back when I had middle school kids, when I did have more of an afternoon and evening routine, so you can listen to that. But I think it's okay. I think it's okay if you don't have a morning or an afternoon or an evening routine, if you just focus on one. Or, I mean, I think at least one kind of gives you something to structure your whole day around. But different seasons of life, different stages, different times are going to have different needs for structure. And right now, I just don't need an evening routine structure. And if I had a really rigid evening routine, I would want to adhere to it because I'm just that kind of a person. And then I'd be frustrated if I did or didn't have to take care of Grayson, if Abby was or wasn't late, which she's never late, or if I was tired. Like last night, I went to bed at 9:15 and woke up at 6:45, I got 9.5 hours of sleep on a work night. Like, I was just tired. So I went to bed. And I love having the freedom of being able to do that. So I really, my morning routine is probably the most structured. The afternoon routine is the one that I've really lost since Grayson was born because I don't do my onion ring run anymore. And that used to be 2 or 3 times a week. Fine. four times a week where I would leave work and I would go take that 1 hour drive and just process through what was happening in the company and what was happening at home and how I could show up best in both places. I don't really have that nice part of my afternoon, that long commute anymore. Yeah, it's just a different time of life. So let's travel back in time and hear what my evening routine used to be like. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I am about to republish episode 62. 2 years ago, I told you about my morning and evening routines in the podcast that you're about to hear next. I want to give you an update. First of all, I mentioned Weight Watchers, and you should know we made it one whopping month, and then no one was in Weight Watchers anymore. I am actually making my bed every single day on autopilot now, and I can't believe that that was something I had to put into my routine 2 years ago. I don't even remember now a time when I didn't make my bed. I also don't even think about making the kids' lunches anymore. They are 16 and 17, and they are in charge of most of their meals, including any dinners that they want to create for themselves if they don't like what we're having. My morning and evening pickup time is now on autopilot, and I don't even think about those extra 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night that you're about to hear about in this podcast that were a big mindset shift for me. And I have reined in Hunter's toys. He is 2.5 now, and he just has a small basket of toys, and I only have to pick them up once a week. So thank you so much. I want you to listen to this podcast because this is going to be the precursor for the next 3 podcasts where I talk about my morning, afternoon, and evening routines, and they will gain on this podcast that you're listening to, which was originally episode number 62, recorded in the fall of 2015. As I am getting my kids ready to go back to school, and maybe your kids have already started going back to school, it's at this time of the year where I look at my morning and evening routines, see what can be tweaked, and how I could be even more productive in the upcoming school year. So today I want to talk to you about how to create a morning and an evening routine. I'm going to give you a 5-step process that I use to create mine, and then some ideas about how you could tweak one if you already have one. So a morning and an evening routine are really important. And when I was younger, I would always have a to-do list of what I wanted to do the next day. I'm pretty efficient, productive. I like to put things in the most efficient manner, order possible, so that I could get as much done in every day. I've always been like this ever since I was a little kid. I mean, I was born with a to-do list. I don't know what to tell you. And I did really well with all of those things until I had children. And when we had one baby, I still had the to-do list. I just wasn't getting as much done. And by the time we had the second child, I mean, I didn't even know what my name was. I was still being productive. I was still getting a lot of things done. But everything required so much mental effort. And as I started researching and looking at how productive people get a lot done, the thing that kept coming up over and over again was that they had a morning and an evening routine, which I thought I had, but I didn't really have. And the thought goes something like this. You know how you do everything in the morning in the same order? Like, you probably today didn't think about, I need to brush my teeth this morning. I need to brush my teeth this morning. You just did that on autopilot. Like, there are things that you do. You wake up, you go to the bathroom, you brush your teeth, you take a shower, you wash your hair, you do your hair, you put your makeup on, you get dressed, you go downstairs. Doing that morning routine, that what I just said there, that pretty much everybody in the world does every single morning. At some point, probably in your teenage years, when you figured out how you were going to do your hair and what makeup you were going to wear and, you know, what you liked, that became more and more rote every single day. I'm watching it happening with my own teenage children right before my eyes. And we do those things in that order. And we know we do it by rote because if you're in a hotel, you have to think about, now, did I put the deodorant on? Like, because you're not in the same place. And so you have to really think about what you're doing. Or if you're moving, then you start to go, oh, shoot, I have everything I need, but I don't have the deodorant. Where's my deodorant? I don't know why I'm stuck on deodorant today, but you get the idea. Then whenever we're out of our element, or maybe a kid interrupts you, you get out of the shower, they need to find their clothes for school. Now you're downstairs in a towel and you get back upstairs and you have to stop for a minute and think about, oh yeah, I was getting out of the shower. The next thing I do is get dressed. It seems crazy, but as I'm saying this, you probably have done this yourself. You go, what was I going to do yet next? Oh yeah, not be naked anymore. It's just, you get out of your routine and you have to get back in it. Well, if you wake up
and you get ready and you go about your regular routine without thinking about it, and you end up downstairs dressed, clothed, showered, and everything. What you did was you were in the flow and you just did things without even making any decisions. It was just part of your everyday routine. There's a lot of research that's come out lately, and I'm not a detail person, so I'm sorry I can't point you to the exact articles, but there have been multiple articles done that I've read that have said that the more you can make things routine like that, something that you just do all the time automatically so that you don't even have to think about it, then it doesn't become a decision. And last year, I tried to make as many things as possible not a decision. So what we had for breakfast was one of three things. There was a decision there, but it was a decision between three things. It wasn't like the whole kitchen is open, I can make whatever you want. Personally, my own food choices, I have the same thing every day. I have coffee, then I have a Zone Perfect peanut butter chocolate bar. Then around 10 o'clock, I have granola cereal. Then for lunch, I mean, I have the same stuff every single day. And the more you can have the same food, wear the same clothes, do things in the same order, the less decisions you have to make. Because what they've decided is, if you're deciding whether to have Fruit Loops or granola in the morning, is the same as deciding whether or not to call that client back at the office, deciding whether or not to read a book to your kid at night. Every decision you make takes decision-making power, and you only have so much of it every day. So if you wake up early in the morning and you make a ton of decisions before noon, like you're spent, you can make very few high-level decisions after that, and everything seems like you're moving a mountain. Whereas if you have a very well-oiled routine, you do these things the same way every single day, you get to the office, and everything you've done is pretty much the same as you did it the day before. You haven't really made any decisions at all, and you can make decisions until 5 p.m., and that's when you hit your wall of decision-making power. Now, we're all going to hit our wall of decision-making power, and it's going to usually be around dinner time. You know how when you have kids and it's like 4 o'clock and it's the witching hour and the kids go crazy and you think it's because they're hungry? I don't know. They just go crazy around dinner time and you're tired and you're trying to make dinner. And that's when I always go, my husband says, what's for dinner? I'm like, I don't know. Where are you driving through? Because I cannot make a decision for dinner whatsoever. That's when I hit my wall. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock is when I've always hit my wall. By 4 o'clock on, I'm not really good for making very many decisions, which is why diets are broken in the evening. You know, you end up staying late in the evening. All these things don't happen at 8 a.m. because at 8 a.m. you're refreshed. And even if you're tired from the night before, you have a renewed amount of decision-making ability. Okay, so all that to say that I personally have found this to be true. The more I could put things into my routine and the less it becomes a decision, the better. So last year was the first year I really tried to cram as much as possible into the morning hour. I only have an hour for my morning routine. I get up at 5:30 and everybody's in the car on the way to their schools by 6:30, and then I get home from driving the kids at 7:30, and that's when I want to start my workday. So from 5:30 to 6:30, I try to get as much brainless but decision-making stuff done as possible. Now, my kids are teenagers. They are now 14 and 15. So for the most part, they get themselves ready as long as I keep moving them along. So as I'm going through my to-do list of things I need to do, like every 10, 15 minutes, I'm upstairs saying, you really have to get out of the shower now. You really have to get dressed now. You really have to get in the car now. You know how you do with kids. But I also found that when I don't have enough on my to-do list, because I'm a morning person and I'm raring to go, then I'm standing over them going, put the socks on faster, which really is not helpful for anyone at all. Them, me, my husband, anyone. Nobody. It benefits nobody. So I decided to put a lot of the tasks that I'm too tired to do in the evening in the morning. So like, I wake up my son, go downstairs, start the coffee maker, put a load of laundry in, go make my coffee, go back up, make sure he's gotten in the shower. Then I take my own shower, then I make sure he's gotten out of the shower. Then I get ready, then I go downstairs. You get the idea. I have this little system that I go through where there are all these activities that I can do while the kids are getting ready. I've already mentioned this in a podcast last year, but one of the things I did was I get really antsy. Like, I like to be early for things. Like, we actually don't have to leave at 6:30. We could leave at 6:40, but I would rather leave at 6:40 in case there's an accident, it's raining, my tire gets blown or whatever. Like, I would rather be early. So if the kids look like they're ready at 6:25, I want to get in the car and leave. And they go, we don't have to leave till 6:30. Drives me bananas. So instead of having it drive me bananas, what I do is I fold laundry at 6:30 in the morning because it's near the kitchen and the family room. I can hear them. I can help them if I need to. I can keep moving them along that we need to get in the car. But yet I'm not listening to them and watching them tie their shoes as slow as humanly possible or all the things that drive me crazy. I'm being productive like I like to be, matching socks and folding laundry and cleaning up the laundry room. And I'm right by the door, ready to go out and get in the car. Clearly, I have thought way too much about my morning routine, but that is my morning routine. And one of the things I started doing when I got home last year was cleaning up the kitchen. So I'd walk in the door around 7:30, and I would clean up the kitchen, take that 10 minutes to do the dishes, clean up the kitchen, and then start working. In the past, I wouldn't do that because I wanted every single second of school time available for me for work. Now I'm adding one new thing to my morning routine this year, and that is after I get everything done in the kitchen, I'm going to go up in my bedroom and make my bed. Now it might surprise you that I do not make my bed. I've said it in a blog post before and possibly a podcast as well. To me, again, I'm such a productivity efficiency person that it makes no sense to make a bed that you're going to get into later, even if it only takes 2 minutes. Like, I have had this 20-year rationalization going on in my head. But what I've decided is, since I've been through the 40 weeks one whole house challenge 3 times, and my house really is pretty much super organized now, and I've just hired a cleaning lady, so it's also clean, it would be really nice if when I start work at 8 a.m., my kitchen is clean and my bed is made every day, because it's going to stay that way all day because everybody's out of the house. It's wonderful. So I'm going to add that to my routine to go up, you know, just quickly pick up the upstairs and make the bed. It'll take maybe 5 minutes. And for me, that's huge. Like, you may think I'm totally crazy, but I don't know. If you listen to this many podcasts, you know, this is just how I am. Now, the evening routine is something that I started once we had kids. I love working in the evening. I love doing social media, not writing a blog post, but working on my business in general, reading, watching TV, taking my hot bath. I have a pretty good evening routine. Once the kids came along, that's when I started putting together a better evening routine, as most people do when they have young children. You know, 7 o'clock is the time we go upstairs. Greg did the baths. I got everything ready for the kids, you know, all their clothing, got them in their pajamas, read their stories, and they were in bed at 8:30 or whatever the time was. As they've gotten older, we have stuck with an evening routine. Our family does better if we have an evening routine. But it's not necessarily so much tucking teenagers into bed as it is winding down the household for the evening. And last year was the first year where I really put an evening routine back into place from before. When my kids were little, as they got older, I stopped doing that more structured evening routine. Last year, I added it back in, except it wasn't a before bed routine, it was an after school routine. So I have to pick up my kids from school, and it takes about an hour and a half to collect the kids and get them back home. And then if they have homework, you know, you do the homework, get dinner ready, which usually for me is just taking it out of a crock pot or whatever. But that is part of what I do. And then my husband gets home and I'm like, yay, daddy's home. We have dinner. And then I love to run upstairs and do my work for the night. And I have to resist that. I know, I'm so crazy. So I like to leave the dishes till the next morning because I'm exhausted. Like, I want to have alone time. So what I did last year was I started saying from 4 to 7, I'm going to be downstairs. I'm not going to run upstairs at 6 o'clock. I'm going to wait until 7. So from 4 to 7, we get home from driving kids around 4 or 4:30. I'm going to help get dinner on the table, figure out anything the kids need for school the next day, any laundry that needs to be put away. We have dinner together and then do the dinner dishes and spend some time with my husband. I was getting really, really good at that. Now we have a dog. So this year, I'm adding to this evening time from 4 to 7 to also pick up all of Hunter's toys. I buy my kids a lot of toys, and apparently I buy my dog a lot of toys too, and so do my kids. This puppy that we've had for like 2.5 months has more toys than he knows what to do with. On the other hand, he doesn't chew any of our furniture because I don't even think he could find that we have furniture because we have so many toys. But in the evening, nobody's going to pick up this little puppy's toys. My husband would, but he's exhausted from the day too. My kids are not going to pick up the toys. And I've decided that not only am I going to pick up Hunter's toys, I'm going to pick up whatever other messes are left out. I'm really, really working on getting my teenagers to pick up the messes that they start and put them away. But you know what? By 7 o'clock, anything that I ask anybody to do, because we've all had it, because we're all done with our decision-making power for the day, we're all ready for our alone time, and everything's going to start an argument. So just like I pick up the kids' clothes off of the bedroom or the bathroom floor and put them in the laundry for them, I'm going to walk around the house at 7 o'clock at night, pick up all the dog toys, pick up anything that's left out, so that for me, when I go to bed, the messes are all picked up. Now, of course, my kids are teenagers. They're not going to bed at 7 o'clock at night. The odds of them getting out more stuff between 7 and 9 or 10 at night is pretty good. There'll probably be stuff out in the morning. But you know what? I will pick that up at 7:30 when I get back from dropping them off at school the next day. Some of these things that I've decided to add into my morning and evening routine are because I want our house to be more company ready all the time. Like, my house is to the point where if you say you're on your way over and you're going to be there in 10 minutes, I can pick everything up and it will be straightened. But what I'd like is for you to say, I'm at the front door and I don't have to pick anything up because I've been picking it up. One of the reasons I haven't done that is because that's going to take about 20 minutes a day, 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night, at least, to keep it that picked up. But I think I'm ready to devote that kind of time so that when my husband walks in the house for lunch, everything's picked up. And when he comes home from work, pretty much everything is picked up. And it's just going to be a nicer feel for him and more relaxing for him. All right. If you have never done a morning or an evening routine before, and you want to know my 5 tips to starting one, here's what they are. Number one, I want you to determine how much time you have. I've already said I have 1 hour in the morning, and that includes my getting ready. How much time do you have in the morning? Are you willing to wake up earlier? You know, what time do you have? And how much time do you have in the evening? Like, if I left my evening routine for 8 to 9 p.m. or 9 to 10 p.m., nothing would get done. Like, there's no chance I'm doing anything after 8 p.m. So I've put mine from 4 to 7. And that is my time where I will be doing whatever these tasks are. If it's not done by 7, it could be done the next day. Then the next thing you need to do is determine your energy levels. I told you I have a lot of energy in the morning and none at night. You may be exactly the opposite. You may be lucky that you get the kids to the right schools because you're so tired in the morning that, you know, whatever, it's a kid, here's a school, you get out. But in the evening, you might stay up till midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And I mean, you could write a thesis statement at 9 p.m. I don't know. That may be your energy time. So you're going to put your tasks where they match your energy and decision level. So step 3 is to make a master task list. I want you to get your favorite drink, a nice pen that you like to write with, and a nice empty piece of paper. And just write down all of the things that you are responsible for doing in your home every week. When I did this at first, I realized why Greg and I were so overwhelmed. I had 25 hours worth of things on my list, and he had 15 to 20 hours worth of things on his list. So we had more than part-time jobs just taking care of the house, you know, with teenagers. So if you have babies, it's going to be even more, right? And so what we have decided to do, well, I guess I'll tell you that in the next point. Writing out that list is going to really help you see why it is you're so overwhelmed, how many tasks you have in front of you, and how you're going to get it all done. I promise I'm not going to leave you there totally overwhelmed. We're going to talk about number 4, assigning those tasks. And there are a couple different ways we're going to assign them. There are 3 different ways. So the first way that you're going to assign these tasks is you're going to go through this list. And like I told you, mine is 25 hours long. You're going to assign a time next to each of these tasks. So vacuuming your whole house takes me 1 hour if I'm going to do all 3 floors. Emptying the dishwasher takes me 5 minutes. Changing the laundry takes me 10 minutes. I know how long everything takes. When you know how long everything takes, you know how much stuff you can cram into your hour that you have, right? And give yourself some buffer time. The next thing is not just to know how long these things take, but to outsource as many of them as you can or to delegate them. So like I just hired a cleaning lady. So I outsourced a whole bunch of those cleaning tasks. They aren't even on anybody's list anymore. Or you can outsource to your children. All right, middle of last year, Abby started packing her own lunch for school, so that came off of our list. And that really was like a 20-minute task. I know you could do it quicker, but it really was a long one for us. So anything like that that you can outsource, or maybe you look at your list and you go, okay, I dust the ceiling fans every single week, but I could do that every other week or once a month. So you might eliminate some things from your list once you look at how long your list is and decide which of these things really are the most important. The next thing is to batch those tasks. So I told you about morning routine, I told you about evening routine, and when I really started looking at everything I had to do, I realized that I would have like a 2-hour list in the morning and like a 4-hour list in the evening just to get everything done. And for me, that wasn't acceptable. That wasn't leaving enough time for me to do the work that I wanted to do and to have the amount of downtime that I wanted to have. So for me, it was easier to put anything that was humanly possible onto Sunday. So after I get home from church on Sunday, I plow through my to-do list. I do all the laundry, all our house chores, all of our meal planning. Everything happens on Sunday, and I end the day doing my Sunday basket and my Sunday list, which I actually enjoy doing. I love having podcasts on and knowing that, you know, if the kids need something or I have to run errands, or it's all going to be done on Sunday if it can wait until Sunday. And then that way, there's not very much on my list during the week. Okay, step 5 is to review and adapt. And I do this all the time. I would say at least every month. I go over mentally and sometimes I write it out. Okay, what's working? What's not working? Let's say the kids are in a new sport, or like what's happening with us this week is my husband and I and my daughter are all joining Weight Watchers. Well, that's going to totally throw the whole schedule off because we now have to add the Thursday night meeting to Weight Watchers, and then we're going to have to spend quite a bit of time with our daughter, helping her, you know, assimilate this into some kind of an order for her. She's going to start doing her own grocery shopping and cooking as well, so that's going to take a lot of time, most of which will be done on Sunday when it involves me. So that is something that I'm going to put into our morning and evening routine. So I'm always modifying. This time in August is when I really look at every single piece of my morning and evening routine and make any big changes that I want to make. Now is when we've ended the summer. I think about what worked last school year and what additional responsibilities my kids can handle this year. Just like I'm adding 2 things to my morning to-do list, I'm adding a couple things to theirs. Like my daughter is pretty much going to be in charge of her food this year. Obviously, we're going to help her. But she's going to pack her own lunches. She's going to be in charge of her grocery shopping and what she wants to eat so that she could be successful in Weight Watchers. And our son will have things added to his list as well. I hope this really helps you get a morning and evening routine that works for you. You know, just start, if you've never had a morning or evening routine at all, just think about what you already do and think about adding 1 thing to the morning and 1 thing to the evening. I'll talk to you next week.